Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Of course, in this year, to double. Amen. Increase, seek to double. That was the word that we've got from our Maui conference, and of course that was the word from our senior global leader, Dr. James Morocco. And we've been setting our faith to take those steps. So I have some news to share with the church. It's good news. It's not something, you know, and I need to change my voice up a little bit this second service. I truly am excited about everything we've seen God do already this year. But we actually have making some decisions going into the month of April. We're going to be relocating our service from this location to the Marion County Commons area starting April 6th. Pastor Brad, I'm getting focused here. So starting actually April 6th. So we're going to be moving our service times on Sunday. It's one of the things we prayed for and one of the things we've stood in agreement over, that He would increase. Amen. Everybody, God's going to increase the church this year. Amen. And we will be meeting here on Wednesdays as well. We'll still be using this building. This building's used for multiple things, but we will be moving locations on Sunday morning, and so we're excited about that, and we're excited. You know, we set our faith this year to double our people, amen. And you know, as many of you guys know, we're running two services, and actually starting next week in this house, we're going to go back to a one service model, roughly for 4 weeks. And what that means is that we're going to be changing our service time next week to 10 o'clock. Here at this house. So everybody say 10 o'clock. Some of you are writing it down in your minds, right? So, but 10 o'clock next Sunday, we're going to be meeting here together, combining our both services together, coming together back with one service. So that will take place next week. We'll be doing that for about a month. There's a lot of prep and planning that we'll be moving into for our Sunday mornings. And, you know, we're excited about this. We believe that God's opened up a door and opened up an opportunity. We'll be finalizing contract stuff this week, and we'll keep the church updated and posted. And amen. Is there any excitement in the house about what the Lord's doing? Amen. So we're excited about what the Lord's going to do and what we've been believing for. And you know, it doesn't. And I want to say this because, you know, even just talking about our plans, you know, in making plans to build a new church, that's one of the things that we set our faith for roughly about a year ago. And we've been in this process of making plans, drawing out plans, and the original blueprint that we designed was too small. And, you know, and so it's like, so we're back to the drawing board on some things, and I'll have some updated stuff even this week. We'll be sharing with the congregation because, you know, our plan is to have a permanent home, amen, a place that we call home, a place that we'll all grow together, and we believe that Fairmont, West Virginia will be a hub, that out of this location and out of this area, that other churches will come out of that, amen. And so we're excited about everything the Lord is doing and doing through the people of this house. You know, some of you guys are saying, what does that mean for our teams? We're going to begin to do some of that work. We'll be meeting with teams, our children's, our media, things like that. You know, I know some of you guys are saying, well, hey, we don't have to worry about double scheduling now, you know, if we're going back to this model. And so it does mean that we're going to be making some changes, and those changes are going to be beneficial to seeing God's kingdom advanced here in Fairmont, West Virginia. So I think hopefully I communicated that. Does anybody have a confused look on their face with me or anything like that? And praise God, we're going to do this thing. We're going to advance. We're going to take new ground for the Lord. Amen. Truly, truly what the church's role is, I believe, in 2025 is to advance. Amen. And that's a part of our vision at King's. And, you know, we've been believing for that. And this is something that's been in the process for several months. And God's opening up a door. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to walk through that door. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's get into the Word of God this morning. And if you have your Bibles, let's go to Acts chapter 28. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word this morning as well. you know, last week, we feel to really come around an area of talking with the church about doubling and how do we double as a church? How do we have the mindset of doubling? And I believe if we're talking about doubling our people, there are certain things that's going to require us as a church to do. And it's really interesting, you know, as we're changing service times, we had cards made up and we were getting ready to give cards to everybody today to invite somebody to church. And guess what? The cards are wrong because, you know, things are already changing. And, you know, things changed over this last week. And, you know, and so so we've got to be able to make adjustments. Amen. You know, the one thing that will occur in life is change. Amen. And when change happens, sometimes it's not maybe always easy, but I want to tell you, sometimes it's necessary. Amen. I think sometimes that's the one thing that we have to keep in mind, that change is necessary for growth. Praise God. So you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 28, verse 1. I'm going to read this out of the NLT this morning. It says, "Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shores to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand, and said to each other, 'A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live.' But Paul shook off the snake." Everybody say, "Shake it off." Shake it off. One more time, "Shake it off." Shake it off. "Paul shook off the snake into the fire, and he was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god." Father, thank you for this word. Anoint it today. And Lord, I thank you for this church. Increase, increase, increase in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated this morning. I'm really just calling an audible this morning because I really just want to focus on this text. It's not going to be the same service as the first service, and I really want to you maybe impart or even put into you a word that I feel it's very very important that we grab a hold of, and it truly is this. Is that God is calling the church. He's calling people. He's calling you. He's calling me to be people of influence everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, he's calling the church. Now's the time to rise up. Now's the time to take ground. Now's the time to take territory. Now's the time for, you know, to begin to think differently. Now's the time to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to do this because I love God. I'm going to step into this arena because I believe God." Amen. I tell you, your belief in God is key to your growth. Your belief in Him, and you know, you see something like this. You even in this text in Acts 28, you know, a snake fastens itself to Paul's hand as he's grabbing, you know, picking up a bundle of sticks to throw it on the fire, and you know. Even just that right there, that's pretty serious, right? It was a poisonous viper, so people are watching and waiting. You know, can I tell you, that's a lot of time what people will do. They'll watch and wait. They'll watch and wait. They'll, "Well, you know, Pastor, you know, it's just, you know, yeah, I think that's what God wants to do with the church. You know, I think He wants me to increase." Can I tell you that increase is a mindset? You increasing in your life is truly a mindset. "One day He'll do it for me." No, a mindset fastens itself in a way that you say, "I'm going to position myself, believe God, because His word is true." That God wants to, He does, He wants me to increase. Why would God not want His people to increase? You know, it makes, you know, God, you know, He'll do whatever He wants. He wants His people to increase so that we can be a light to a lost and dark world. That you and I, as children of God, can declare His mighty signs and wonders. You know, I think the story of Paul is so fascinating, and I love this whole section, verse, you know, chapter 26 and 27. You'll see that in chapter 27, Paul, on his way to Rome, you know, they're in a boat and they're in a ship, and you know, which causes this over into 28, you know, they're shipwrecked on the island of Malta. But Paul, who is a prisoner on this boat, really becomes the captain of the boat. That, you know, even in adversity, even in times where things might look not so good, God can elevate you. God can promote you. You can have influence. Guys, the church can have great influence. You can have great influence where you work, where you're at in life. You can have great influence. You can have great influence, you know, at the state capitol in Charleston, West Virginia, when you need a parking spot. Amen? You can pray a prayer like, Lord, I'm going to be late for this meeting. I need a parking spot right beside the capitol door. Yeah, God will do that. He'll do those kinds of things. But the influence that you carry is not small. And I think sometimes this is the thing. We have to get it into our mind and get it into our heads that, you know, what God's wanting to do, He's wanting to pour out His Spirit in a greater measure in 2025 than we've ever seen. That we would encounter, that we would see the miracles of God. You know, moving into a new location, you know, honestly, it's there's a lot of things that have had to happen. There's a lot of things that had to shake loose. Amen. That's why, you know, there's a lot of things that can stand in the way of taking new territory or new ground. You know, even buying the property that we bought. I mean, honestly, it was a 6 to 8 month deal. And I'm like, why is this being so difficult? Why is this, you know, it's because, you know, I recognize no matter what you do in life, when you go to take ground or you go to be influential as a believer, there's going to be some things that will come against the move of God. There'll be things like what Paul encountered. Think about it. He's on this boat and he, like I said, he's a prisoner. But everybody begins to lean into Paul because Paul has a word from the Lord. Listen, if you do what I tell you, nobody on this ship is going to die. We're going to fast. We're going to not eat. We're going to throw things off of the boat. But if you listen to me, nobody on this boat will die. He's a prisoner. Speaking to the captain of the boat. This is what we need to do. And then they find themselves. You know, Paul had such favor, but he had great influence. And I'm going to tell you, you can have great influence in the communities that you live in your workplace, wherever you go. You can have great influence, just like Paul. He had fastened himself in faith to I'm going to believe God. No matter what, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand upon the word that's been spoken over my life. Amen. I'm going to stand upon my healing. I'm going to stand upon my miracle. I'm going to stand upon my financial breakthrough. Amen. I'm using the word fasten, but you attach yourself to what God wants to do in your life. You know, ultimately, and you believe God. That, you know, we move into the context of this story, though, in Acts 28. You know, even when you have influence, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be, you know, there's not going to, it's not, I'm not even talking about the things that come against you. Everybody's had things come against them. It's, you know, it's not that, not being naive to that. But what you do in a time when something comes against you or tries to wreak havoc in your life truly matters. You think about Paul. I mean, he's got a poisonous viper that jumps out of a pile of wood as he's gathering up sticks because it's cold and it bites him. Paul's on a mission. He's on a mission. He you know, and I love this story. You know, in David and Goliath, and David. David, as he's getting ready to go into battle, he utters this statement, and he says, "Is there not a cause?" You know, in Paul, I believe that, even having that word, is there not a cause? I have a mission. I'm to go to Rome to minister there. I have a purpose. I have a mission. I have a vision. Amen. I have a direction that I have to move in. So as the viper lays a hold of him, he just, whether or not he knew it was poisonous or not, the natives knew, right? The people knew that the viper was poisonous. And this is what happens a lot of times. See, the world and people in the world, they'll watch and see what happens. Well, you know, he got bit. Oh, you know, hey, that happened to that person. That person must be a murderer. That person must be a thief. That person must operate under a different spirit because this happened to him. But Paul, what does he do? He responds in a way that I'm not even going to be moved by this incident. I'm not going to be moved. And I tell you, that's the whole thing about positioning yourself in 2025. I'm not going to be moved by what people say. I'm not going to be moved by the village people, right? I'm not going to be moved by some of you may even say that I'm not going to be moved by my family. I'm not going to be moved by friends or what people say. I'm going to be moved by what God says. I'm going to position myself right where God wants me to be. So I'm hearing, so I'm believing. I believe this so much, and I believe that Christians will command such influence as we see the day of the Lord approaching. I believe the church will command such influence. You know, you think about this. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked are stored up for the righteous. That in the last days, you know, Isaiah chapter 2, that in the last days, you would begin to see the church set apart. The church would look vibrant and bright for the whole world to see. Now we could sit back and we could look, well, that's not been the case maybe over a period of so many years. You know, Pastor, you know, there's been an exodus of the church. People are leaving the church. Young people don't go to church anymore. I don't believe that's the future of the church. I don't believe that's where the church is headed. I believe the church is going to shine. It's going to look bright for the whole world to see, so that others can come in. So that, you know, guys, can I give you? You are the church. We are the church. Your influence as a believer matters wherever you're at. You know, I say this often because people ultimately have questions, right? They have questions about God. Or can I give you this too? Because a lot of people have misinformation or misconceptions about God. You know, this person was killed, or this happened to that person, or why would God take people? People don't even realize there's a real enemy. There's a real enemy that comes against people's faith. The Bible says he's a thief. The devil's a thief. He's a liar. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his M.O. That's not God's M.O. God's not up there making a decision today to bring a curse on earth. The earth will fall under judgment one day, yes. But right now, I'm thankful that we're in a time period of grace. Amen. God's not slack concerning his promises. His will, his desires, that all come to repentance. That's what Paul knew. Paul had a mission. He had a vision. He had a mission. So even when times of adversity or something came upon him, you know, I know my cause. I know, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? See, guys, you get yourself positioned that way. Is there not a cause in 2025? God wants to advance, guys. Listen, God wants to advance you. He wants to advance the church. Maybe you've never heard that. Maybe you've never even thought, well, I can actually believe that way. You can believe that way. You know, it's like dropping the mindset. Well, if God wants to do it, He'll do it. No, God does want to do it. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through the people. He wants to work through the church. Amen. The power of God in you will command influence. The very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, guess where it lives? It lives and dwells on the inside of you. It will command influence. You know, there was a time I was, Minister Lehigh was with me and Pastor Miranda, and I was asked to go do a funeral. And It was a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. It was a guy that passed away, and it was just the whole event was pretty wild. But we pull up at the front of the funeral home, and my car quits right at the front door of the funeral home, and there's a bunch of people. And so we all pile out of the car, and the car actually starts back up, and we were able to get the car moved. And I'm supposed to preach at a guy's funeral. Supposed to share the, you know, I asked, I said, if you're going to have me preach or anything, I'm going to have an altar call. I'm going to, because I know there's going to be a bunch of people at this funeral. I you know, I've been to a few Hawaiian funerals. They're big. They're not small. And it's a party, too. So, you know, some funerals are parties. Some are wakes, but you know, a lot of times in some cultures they're parties, and I got into the funeral home, and talking about influence, because see, God will he will give you influence, and he will give you favor. Obedience is there's a key to being obedient. There's a key to being obedient. You know, I had to be there. I knew I needed to be there. I go in, they said, hey, we've changed the lineup because I asked to be last. If people are going to speak, I would rather speak last at a funeral because I'll know that salvation's covered. I'll know that I have an opportunity. So there was a lineup of people that were going to speak. There were three or four people that were going to speak. And I go in, they say, hey, we're going to move you to the front. I was like, oh, you know, I didn't want to go first. I would rather go last. And I'm like thinking in my head how I have to rework everything, how I have to change everything. So I did, and I was like, okay, I, you know, do this, do that, and we're kind of sitting on the front row, and a gentleman he starts off the funeral with music and a song, and he's sharing a few things, and literally calls me out from the front row. Calls me out from the front row, and he says, hey, you the preacher, man, you stand up, tell us what wisdom is. And I just said, you know, sir, so the Bible says in James that if anyone lack wisdom, they should ask for it. And he was stumped. And I didn't, you know, and I was like, you know, that was the Lord. That was from the Lord. But what happened even at that point was that God was positioning me to minister. It was him. It's the influence that God will give a person or you know, even the right words to say. Can I tell you that God will do that? He'll give you the right words to say in some situations that you don't ever expect to get called out on a funeral. That's not a normal place that you would ever get called out. But it's like God quickly can give you something by the Spirit through the Spirit, so that your influence can have a positive, lasting impact wherever you're at. And that's what happened. I, you know, right after all that was done, they said, you know, we're going to have Pastor Brad come up and he's going to share. And I was just like, okay, we're going for this thing. We got an altar call at the first part of it. I mean, literally, while I'm preaching, a guy comes in right at the very latter part who I ministered to in a jail and led him to Jesus Christ. And he comes through while I'm preaching, stops and stands at the casket, looks at me and goes, huh, and goes and sits down. Wild trip. But that day we seen people come to Christ. We seen people give their heart to Jesus Christ. There was a guy from Hana, I'll never forget it, and I ran into him at the store later on. He was an older guy, and he just looked at me and said, hey man, that was a lot to do that. You know, like you. And I was like, sir, I said, I was willing, but I needed God every step of the way. I needed God to be with me. And, you know, we talked about salvation, him and I did that day. And but I say all this to say this, because, see, if you can get it into your mind, the impact that you can have with people in 2025, everything shifts. You know, I said it last week, and I truly mean this. You know, how do you double? How do you double as a church? A, you pray, right? We pray. We pray for that. We attach our faith in prayer 7 days a week for growth of the church. Amen. Anybody, you guys with me? We pray. That's one of the things that we do as a church. We put ourselves in the area of praying and believing for that. You know, secondly, you know, we walk through open doors. We walk through open doors. Many of you guys, listen to me. Be ready. Be ready to walk through those doors that God begins to open. See people the way God sees people. Amen. See people the way God sees people. In this scripture, you know, in Acts 28, Paul, he you know, the one thing that he did was he shook it off. Everybody take their hand. Everybody just shake your hand. Shake your hand. Because listen, that really sometimes is what we is how we need to look at situations. That's how we need to look at the tactics of the enemy. We move to a place where, you know what, I'm not going to be moved. My life's not going to be determined by a situation or a circumstance. I'm going to shake this thing off. I'm going to shake this thing off. Can I give you another thing here? Because if you get signs and wonders should be prevalent with believers. Signs and wonders should be prevalent with believers. Now this right here, a sign or a wonder, you know, but you he should be dead. Many of you should be dead. But God has spared you. He's given you life. Many of you should have already been, you know, from car wrecks to motorcycle wrecks. I'm talking of myself now. I don't know, 7 car wrecks, 1 motorcycle wreck. I've hit my head probably more times than any one person ever should. Had my head run through windshields 2 different times. I mean, praise God. But God, amen, I'm alive. Amen. Some of you in here can confess and say, yes, me too, Pastor. I remember Killa sharing that testimony with me, Evangelist Killa. He was like, yeah, I got thrown out of a pickup truck. And he's got a scar on his arm. And he got thrown out of a pickup truck some 60 feet and lived. He was like, man, I was on so much drugs. He said, I know that's the only way I lived. He said, I was so high when that happened. I that's the only way I lived. But, you know, I think about what God's done. God spared people's lives. He saved people for such a time as this. I think about what he's doing. You know, again, how many people he's led to Christ. One life changed. One life radically changed for Christ. You guys, see, this is the impact. You need to realize, you can have an impact in someone's life. You know, my heart in all this is that somebody had to minister to Billy Graham. Somebody had to minister to Evan Roberts. Somebody had to minister to a Smith Wigglesworth. Somebody had to minister to a Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. You guys catching this? Because somebody has to be that one. Somebody has to be that person of influence that says, you know, no, this matters. Me sharing this gospel, me sharing this good news, it matters. It matters. It matters to our culture. It matters to our time. It matters in our communities. It matters. The power of God in your life will give you influence. You know, one of the things that Paul, he doesn't do, he doesn't quit being a Christian when something happened. He's on this boat. I mean, honestly, think about Jonah. Gets swallowed by a whale. He's running from God. I mean, you know, sometimes you just think, you see in the Bible, why didn't they just call it quits, right? God had a plan. He had a purpose. It's the same thing with Paul. He had a plan and he had a purpose. You think the shipwreck, you think being in a storm like he was in on the boat, that's bad enough. But he's minding his own business. The next day he's cold, he's sitting with all the people, and he's like, you know, he's probably not roasting marshmallows. I have this picture in my head, right? He's got a hot dog, right? You know, that's where hot dogs were invented. Amen. But you know, he's doing this thing, right? And a snake comes and bites him. You think, bro, this is a run of bad luck here, huh? Boat wreck. Grab a piece of wood, drift in. I'm cold, I'm wet. Now a snake bites me. But you understand how he handles this is really an example of how we need to look at things in our own lives. Man, so, you know, sometimes you got to shake it off. Yeah, you just got to learn to shake it off. Find an answer. Find a scripture. Find something in the Word that you can attach yourself to. Find a promise in the Word. No. I'm. This is where I'm going. You know, I'm increasing. I'm seeking to double. Amen. My life's going to be this. It's not going to be that. And when people begin to see that in you, this is the key. This is the main key that I want you to take away today. When people begin to see that in you, you'll influence people everywhere you're at. They'll see God in you. It's not me. Yes, it's me as a person, but they'll see God in you. It's one of the greatest opportunities that we have is honestly to shine for Jesus. You know, Paul doesn't check his faith card at the door. He doesn't quit becoming a believer when something happens. We can't do that. Well, yeah, it didn't work out. You keep pressing. You keep digging. You keep believing. I love it because, you know, Paul, in his life, and I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in here, Paul was fully persuaded. Can I tell you that I'm fully persuaded that the gospel of Jesus Christ is real? That it is the power to save. Amen. It is the power to heal. It is the power to deliver. It's the power of God. That's what's given to the church. The church is not a weak, dilapidated, you know, hide out kind of thing. It's not that. The church is a vibrant. You know, I don't, mixed up on my words today, but the church is so vibrant. It's for the world to see. That's who we are. That's who you are. Not defeated. Not defeated. Amen. Victorious. I got anybody that's victorious in the house today? Amen. That's the church. We're victorious. We're victorious. Paul's fully persuaded. You know, I love it in Romans 8:38. You know, Paul says this in Romans. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate you from that. Boat wreck, shipwreck, a viper. These are incidences in Paul's life. You know, he was stoned to death. I mean, you know, there were some things Paul went through. Persecuted. Because of his faith, I mean, we see it in the Bible. You know, Dr. Morocco says this. He'll look at us pastors, and he said this in multiple times. And as he's talked about the persecution of the church and what's to come, many times I've heard him say it. He said, "Pastors, none of us have shed blood yet. None of us have shed blood yet." That's powerful. And he always says yet. He always says yet. you know, Paul's influence, it's, you know, in the influence that you have, it's going to bring people closer to God. You guys know that? Like, you're going to bring people closer to God this year. You're going to show people who God is through your life. You know, I shared it earlier. It's like how powerful your testimony can be. How you know, I'm fully persuaded, fully in. I'm not half in. I'm not, you know, hoping the Christian thing works. When I got in, I got in. When I said yes to Jesus, a lot of things you figure out, right? But, man, I tell you that in 2025, I'm fully persuaded. Pastor, why are we moving? Why are we moving? Because I see the harvest. And I believe there's a people here that see the harvest. They see the harvest of people being born again, new life, people's lives being changed and transformed. That's what we see. Pastor, we still gonna have life groups? We still gonna, you know, if the church grows, are we still gonna be able to you know, keep this, you know, this feel that we have? Yes. It's exactly what we do. It's, you know, I think sometimes it's, you know, one of the things about Kings that I love is that, you know, Kings is a large church worldwide. We know that. But even on the island of Maui, where there's now some 1,200, there's been supernatural growth that's taken place in Maui over this last year, year and a half. Alaska, there's supernatural growth that's taking place. But, you know, there are things that the church recognizes how important it is for people to be in relationship. It's why we, you know, people say, well, you know, Pastor, there's something every night of the week. It's planned that way. Doesn't mean you have to be somewhere every night of the week. That's not what it's about. But there's opportunities for people to be ministered to. We pray every day of the week. So we're coming together, you know, in prayer, corporate prayer. But you know, we have a men's meeting, we have a women's meeting, we have life groups. That way, that connecting with people, that you know, honestly, you know, people will care more about what. They'll care more about how Moran and I care for them than they ever will a word that's preached. You know, a doctor says it. He says, I have a PhD. He said, that's great. But, you know, on the island of Maui, people don't care about my PhD. They don't care about my doctorate. They care about whether or not I care for them. That's what we're teaching people. You're a life group leader. What do we teach you? You care for the people. You're basically an under-shepherd. You're helping care for the people. There's structures. There's things like that we put in place. And we all grow. Amen? Anybody growing in the house? I am. I really felt this past year, man, I've been stretched. Amen? But God is, he's doing that. He's growing the body of Christ. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Just look at Acts 28. I'm going to move to close here in just a few minutes. Acts 28, verse 8. I believe Paul had great favor upon his life. Because, you know, honestly, there just wasn't a quit in him. There wasn't a, you know, he was going to push through, persevere. Can I tell you that's your story, that 2025, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to see myself through this. I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow in the things of God. Anybody want to grow in the things of God greater this year? I mean, yeah, do you see, I want to grow greater. I want to have a greater faith. I want the gift of faith upon my life. I want to see my life, I don't want to look back that my life is remotely looks the same as it did in 24 as it's going to in 2025. Amen. Verse 8, it says, and it happened that the father of Publius, lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and he prayed and he laid hands on him and he healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had disease also came and were healed. And they honored him in many ways. And they honored him in many ways. And I think it's one of those things that if you can see, there it is. As a result, we were showered with honors. And when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. They don't even have a boat. They're on the island of Malta for roughly 3 months. They don't have a boat. They don't have any supplies. They don't have anything. They just don't have anything. Paul's going on to Rome as a prisoner, even at that. But, you know, the demonstration of power. That demonstration of power. Paul laid hands on the sick and they were healed. They recovered. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. They got to hear the good news. They got to hear the gospel. Can I tell you today, minister, if you would? Can I give you this today? Because if you look within, maybe some of you even today, maybe you felt like, you know, I don't feel like I'm maybe where I need to be, or I'm walking where I need to walk, or I don't feel like I'm a Christian of influence. I don't feel like I'm somebody that can have influence. I've got good news for you today. You put your faith, you put your trust, you put your belief, you become fully persuaded. God, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for people that would just say, you know what, use me, Lord. Isaiah, here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, use me. What can God use you in? What can God use you in? If you, I believe this is the greatest hour. I absolutely, and I know I've said that many times now, but I believe it's the greatest hour for the church. I believe there's many that don't know Jesus that are coming in. And honestly, I'm looking at a people that's saying yes, yes, yes. Use what God's given you. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I have to have all this figured out. I have to have this. I have to have that. I have to know 172 scriptures before I share. I have to. Yeah, you study, show yourself approved. It's important that you read the Word of God, that you begin to understand it. You get into a life group. You get into a Bible school. Get into things to learn. Especially if you desire to be in ministry, yes. But above all else, you know, you begin to believe God and you begin to believe God's word for yourself. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Once you get saved and once you become born again, it's about others. It's that giving, right? It's the ability that you have to be able to give what's on the inside of you. You know, if one person brings a person to church, we double. If one person brings a person to church, we double. I mean, you think about that. If one person brings a person to church, we double. What does that matter? It matters to God. the Bible says he's not slack concerning his promises, that none shall perish. You know what that means, none shall perish? It means none shall perish. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Every head bowed. Listen, you know, you can talk about being influential as a Christian. You can examine the life of Paul and think, man, look at the testimonies. You know, look at what Paul's done, and look at how he put his trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Even today, if there's anybody here that you know. You've never put your full trust in Jesus Christ. You've never... I'm not talking about going to church, or, you know, you went to church when you were younger, but you've never fully put your trust. Like, I'll trust him so far, but I'm still working on this thing. That's not how salvation happens. You working on... You'll spend your entire life working as a Christian to draw closer to God, to learn His precepts. The Bible says, "From faith to faith, from glory to glory." That's how that happens. But if there's anybody here today, you know, I don't know anybody's heart. I don't know where you're at. If there's anybody here today, you'd say, Pastor, you know what? I need to put my full trust in Jesus. I need to make Him Lord of my life. I want that for my life. I want that for my life. And guys, don't gloss over altar calls. Yeah. I said that prayer one time. No. I'm what I'm talking about is, you know, I'm fully persuaded. I want to make Him Lord of my life. If that's anybody here today, you say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me today? I just want you to, you know, count to three. Just raise your hand if that's anybody in the house today. One, two, three. Anybody in the house, you'd say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.